Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. Kevin Gianni here with Frederick Patnod. Fred,
how are you? Hey, Kevin. Good, good. I'm doing extremely good. How's everybody doing?
Who are you talking to?
The audience, the podcast listeners.
At the count of three, everyone say, great. One, two, three.
Awesome.
Today we're going to talk paleo.
Paleo.
I am Neanderthal. I eat meat.
I am Mark Sisson. I'm money.
Oh, man. I had an interview with Mark Sisson. I like the guy.
Yeah, I like him too.
He's nice. He was very informative. It was a good interview. I think I did that for the Great Health Debate. Do you remember the Great Health Debate?
I debated Mark Sisson, but not.
That's correct. Live.
it was a pre-debate.
You know, that was a debacle. That Great Health Debate. I had experts calling me, telling me that they didn't want to be next to other experts and that they didn't want to be involved anymore. Some of them didn't even know that they did an interview with me. I mean, it was crazy.
So you don't want to set up debates. Well, we're gonna debate a little bit today, I guess, because we're gonna talk about paleo.
We are. So here's the thing. We got it. What's up?
Why are we talking about paleo? By the way,
we're talking about paleo because one of our listeners wrote in, and let's see, Suzanne Elizabeth wrote in, and she wanted to know a little bit about paleo. She got the sense that maybe I was eating a little bit more paleo than raw, and I guess that sense is somewhat true. And so she wanted to know, like, what the deal is. Like, she hears a lot about it. I'm sure you hear a lot about it. I'm sure some of you are eating a paleo diet. And so I think we're going to give some uncensored thoughts on it today. Would you agree, Fred?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm ready.
All right, man. Why don't you start? What's the deal? Paleo.
Well, I think paleo is a fad right now. It's a diet, but it's also very popular, right? And I don't necessarily disagree with some of the paleo diets, you know, the recommendations. But where I disagree, it's more where it's coming from. So sort of not necessarily the conclusions, because some of the conclusions are pretty sound, like you should, you know, not eat certain things, you should eat more, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to get into that. But it's more how they're getting to those conclusions. I think it's kind of, you know, not totally, I wouldn't say totally misguided, but I think it's kind of misinterpreting the science of how the human body evolved and how we're supposed to eat. I don't think we're supposed to eat in a certain way because our ancestors ate that way, and now we're supposedly not adapted to, the current lifestyle that we have. And it's true in some ways, that is true, that we're kind of in misaligned with our current environment, you know, like with exercise and so on. But I think the way to look at diet is more to look at what we're supposed to eat by doing tests and so on, by doing research on what works best, regardless of what people ate in the past. It could be completely different. So that's kind of how I approach it. But I do think that some of the paleo ideas are true, you know, are interesting. But I think there's way too much of an emphasis on certain things that are not necessarily right on the money, like the total avoidance of grains, the war against sugar in all forms. And yeah, I think there's different ways to look at it. And certainly, I'm not a big fan of the whole idea in general. And I think that some of it is just the same old information that's been recycled, you know? So it's nothing new. It's just now we're wrapping it under paleo. But, you know, eating like a diet of vegetables, fruit, no grains and some meat is just, I mean, that's a diet that's been around forever. You know, it's not like a revolution. I mean, so that's kind of what I think about it.
It's Atkins, but with like organic meats.
And with, yeah, I mean, less, you know, more of a variety of greens and, you know, more, maybe more fruit and so on. But, you know, I think the gluten-free diet, not gluten-free for people that are actually intolerant to gluten, but just like, grain brain, you know, books that are specifically against grains and gluten, wheat belly, I think is one of them, is a disguised paleo diet. You know, they always eventually go into paleo, and let's fight a little bit about this. What do you think, Kevin?
You know, I was hoping that I was going to be able to fight with you on this one, but you're kind of coming to the same conclusions that I have. You know, we're not Neanderthals anymore, and it's foolish to think that we are, and it's foolish, you know, it's almost like the whole supposition of the diet, or the whole like base of the diet, is that we need to go back to eating like a Neanderthal. And it's actually kind of silly, because it's not true. We've evolved. And if you look at any species of animal, and I'm researching this for my book, so it's, you know, it's kind of right in the top, you know, of my consciousness right now, is you look at any species of animal, particularly animals that you can see multiple generations of, and I'm actually speaking to some breeders for the genetic chapter in the book. And, you know, breeders, they'll say, whether they're breeding goats or dogs or you know, any type of animals or pigs, you know, some of these animals live shorter than humans. And so they'll see generation after generation a lot faster, and also they give birth to, you know, in some cases, you know, they give birth to a lot more babies, particularly all at once. Some don't, but some do. And so they see what the food that they feed the animal does, not only to the animal, but also to their offspring. And it happens very fast, particularly if, you know, it could happen over, you know, a 20-year career as a breeder. You can see a lot more animals coming through, and you can see the changes that the food has actually, you know, the physical changes, whether they're fatter or shorter or weaker or stronger, you can see those changes occur right in front of your eyes. With humans, we can't in many ways because our lifespans are much longer. We only have, you know, 0 to, you know, well, some people have 8 or 9 or 10 kids, but we don't have that many children. And then we might see their children, and maybe we're lucky enough to see their children's children, but that's it. You know, so we've only expanded 3 to 4 generations, where with some animals, you know, particularly real small animals like mice or things like that, I mean, you can see so many generations so fast. That you know, you can really see what food in particular can do down the chain, and how genes actually can change too. And so our genes are much different than Neanderthal genes. And if you take a 23andMe test, you know, I got my test back, and I'm actually 2.9% Neanderthal, which is I think the 88th percentile of Neanderthal. So that means like I'm like super Neanderthal. So if there's anyone qualified to be eating a paleo diet, I guess maybe it's me, at least who still exists in this world, right? At Neanderthal status. I wonder if there's, you know, kind of like, you know, native peoples, if there's like if we could start some sort of society and like, you know, be like, hey, you know, like I'm a Neanderthal, you know, I have rights. I want to look at this in a way that makes sense to me. And I want other people to look at this in a way that makes sense, and just saying that Neanderthals used to eat this way and this is how we should eat is incorrect. But with that said, you know, we do have to go back to nature. And you're listening to this call, or I keep saying call on these things. You're listening to this podcast, because I've only done calls in my life. If you're listening to this podcast, you know this stuff. You know this going back to nature. And I think paleo in many ways becomes restrictive, where it doesn't have to be as restrictive as it is. I mean, you can eat fruit. Come on, guys. It's fruit. You can eat fruit. Maybe you don't want to eat, you know, a ton of hybridized sugar bomb bananas, but, you know, we can eat some fruit. We can eat some berries. It's cool. We can eat some mangoes. We can eat some pineapple. It's fine. You know, just do it and enjoy it. But, you know, we don't need to take diet too far. And I think what happens is Fred and I have been there. We've been to the extreme. We're done with that. You know, it doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do your friends, your family members, or yourself any good to be in that extreme stage of diet. So paleo is cool. So is raw food. So is vegan. But when you start to take it to the extreme, where you're only including certain foods into your diet and excluding a whole bunch of them without the flexibility or the leniency on yourself, that's when it starts to become a problem. So whatever diet you want, just do it. But also know that you know, you're not gonna die if you include some of the other things that some of these dietitians or these experts or these pundits or these gurus are telling you that you should never, ever, 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 ever eat. Because I guarantee you there's an example, you know, someone said, besides the processed food, I guarantee you there's an example of one of those foods being eaten by a long-lived culture. And then you say, well, what? So, expert so-and-so says, don't ever eat salt. And then you look at the salt content of the diets of the Okinawans, like sea salt, the salt content of the Okinawans, you're like, well, they eat a decent amount of salt. What's up? So that's my thoughts on it.
I like that. And I wanted to talk about something because, you know, one thing that worries me about the paleo diet and being so popular is it's kind of a, you know, it's giving people like a free license to eat as much meat as possible. So it's sort of like a disguised Atkins diet in some way. And, you know, I've seen people like in health conferences that we've both attended to, you know, and they, I don't know how these people eat on a day-to-day basis, but to me, like a meal that is, you know, a plate that has a big steak and some vegetables, I don't think that's a healthy meal to eat every day. And even Mercola, which, you know, I don't really agree with most of the time, but he had a very interesting article on his website this week. And it was about a warning to people following a paleo diet that they could be encouraging cancer growth. So the bottom line is that a lot of research is coming out that too much protein is feeding cancer by increasing levels of IGF-1 in the body, which is a hormone that increases growth. So we need it when we're growing up, but we don't need it so much later in life, especially if it it makes cancer cells grow faster. So what it, you know, the research that's turning up is that it's not that protein is bad, but that excess protein drives cancer. So excess protein would be, you know, for most people over 100 grams a day, something like that. So when you get above what the body actually needs, you know, you start getting into that dangerous range. And I think, you know, if you eat animal products, like, you know, even if you eat them every day, but, you know, one of the meals, but if, you know, you're not necessarily going to run into those kinds of protein levels, but people consuming a lot of whey protein, consuming meal after meal that look a little bit like the meal that I described, you know, a piece of steak with some vegetables, I think, you know, kind of looking for trouble. And I'm actually worried about it for some people following this diet, because I don't think it's very healthy. I don't think it's going to live up to the hype in the end when you see a lot of people running into health troubles long term doing this. So I think there are benefits, but I'm worried about this part of the paleo diet. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, one of the things that kind of comes off of what you just mentioned is digestion, and if your digestion is poor, which I would say there's a large percentage of the population who has poor digestion, their gut microbiome is totally screwed up. You know, they've had either chlorinated water or taken antibiotics, or, you know, they've had some sort of trauma to their gut biome. I mean, this is going to mess up your ability to digest protein, period, whether it's plant protein or it's meat protein, you know, protein from an animal source. HCL levels can be low, digestive enzymes can be low. So that causes, you know, digestive stress that not only can cause stomach ache, but also can cause, you know, certain, you know, depletions. You know, your body's trying to make up for the lack of minerals and things in the diet, or you're not getting enough minerals because you're not digesting, you know, properly. You're not getting the amino acids because you're not fully breaking down proteins. It could cause inflammation in the gut as well because you're not fully digesting your food. So like if you have poor digestion, you're overloading your body with animal protein. You're in for a bad situation. I mean, that's gonna turn out bad, you know, 99.9% of the time. So that's one side of it. You know, you got to make sure your digestion is shored up. And the other side is, you know, what are you doing this for? So like the question is this: Do you want to eat a lot of protein, get really strong, increase the IGF, Increase the amount of hormones that are coming into your body from the animal foods. Do you want to, get strong and muscular and be active for, a period of time and then die young of cancer? Or do you want to go towards, and I'm not saying that that's just a hypothetical. I'm not saying you're going to do that, but I'm just saying that's a hypothetical. Or do you want to live like some of these cultures that have lived the longest, some of the cultures that Fred and I have researched, some that not so long lived, but it was up there that I've actually visited, the Karo in Peru. So I mean, like, if you want to live like these people and you want to have a long, healthy life that, over a period of time, you're happy and healthy and active, then you want to look at their diets, and they don't eat a lot of meat. They eat a lot of plant food, and in some cases it can be 80%+ volume of their food. And the times when they do eat animal foods, they not only eat just the muscle meat, but they also eat organ meats. They also eat bone broths. Some of them drink fermented, milk products. So you have to kind of include that whole thing in the whole spectrum. And so if you're just eating muscle meat, you're just not getting it. You're not going to the level where these long-lived cultures actually have already been and know that these are some of the things that are causing longevity. And then finally, one last point is that I definitely agree that, paleo, under the paleo umbrella, people do take a lot of liberties. And, now it kind of started in the Weston A. Price kind of way. It's just like, eat as much grass-fed butter as you want because it's grass-fed, or eat as much, drink as much bone broth as you want, or do this and do that, or, eat a whole cow in 6 days or something like that. It's just a joke. But that we have to be very careful about that extreme, because even in some of the cultures that eat meat or drink blood, like the Maasai, they don't eat that much meat. You know what I mean? They don't. And Dr. Williams brought up a really interesting point to me when I was interviewing him for the chapter about what to eat, which is another chapter in the book. And he said, what happens is that, sometimes, health experts or people go down to these areas where there's long-lived cultures, and then they watch them, during a certain period of a season. So like they say they come down in March, and all they're eating at that time is like sweet potatoes or something like that. So now the assumption is like, oh man, they only eat sweet potatoes. And I'm learning this with the Karo. Like, I've only been there in times where they're eating a lot of potatoes. But once, once summer rolls around, the hills, the hillsides up in the Andes, they brighten up with growth, and there's berries and there's greens and there's all these things that they pick for a short period of time. And so there's a lot of variety in their diet that you just don't even see. So for the Karo, you assume they just eat potatoes. For, the Okinawans, there was a point where 85% of their diet, even more, was from, calories were from potato, sweet potatoes. And you're like, wait a minute, this is Japan. I mean, don't they, fish and sushi and seaweeds and all that sort of stuff? Well, no. They do at certain times, and they eat through seasons. And so it's really interesting to think about that too, when you're dealing with, like this long-lived culture. So maybe Maasai are drinking blood or, animal blood or eating animal meat a certain period of time. And then they're doing other things throughout the year.
Yeah, totally. I think we misinterpret what other cultures are doing. And like you said, the free license to do all sorts of things and call it paleo is just, to me, becoming a little ridiculous right now. I mean, when I start to worry is when I see a lot of people embracing the paleo or it could be any diet. I was worrying when raw food started to become popular, because it was like a fad and people were doing all sorts of crazy things, right? So I think, with paleo, it's the same thing. It's become a little like tampered with, and I see people like just, being, not putting things in perspective, avoiding every single grain of grain, right? They're going to count the years since they've touched a grain of rice or any kind of grain, but, it's a form of purity. Oh, I haven't done this, but, you look at their overall diet and yeah, it's pretty good compared to most people, but it's, you know, is it necessarily better? And are you looking at some of the problems that could be caused by, like you said, too much protein and the wrong emphasis on certain things? So what do you think finally, Kevin, about the, you know, the emphasis on the no grains of the paleo movement? Because I think it's become a battle horse. You know, it is what most paleo people agree on, is that some people have a slightly different lifestyle and diet recommendations, but they all agree on no grains.
We've had grains in our diet since, you know what, now, I mean, cultivated grains, 10,000 years, I guess, is kind of the number that most people state. And then even before that, you know, people have eaten grains. So, I mean, looking at it this way, I mean, that's enough for our bodies to start to actually get used to them to some degree. So I just think it's not true. That doesn't mean that, and so let me say this again. I don't think it's true for every individual. How about that? I think some people, they tend towards being able to process animal proteins better than others. But then also some people tend towards more vegetarian, more vegan type diets that include grains. And so, to me, that in itself is kind of where I kind of like, you know, put up my flag and say, all right, you know, my diet, I include grains. I include some grains. I don't eat that much wheat. I mean, every once in a while I will, maybe once in a while I'll have a craft beer, but it makes me puffy. So I know that this is not necessarily the right, combination of grain and alcohol or whatever for me. But you know, I can eat a little bit of rice, or I can have a little bit of quinoa, or I can eat some of these older grains, barleys and things like that. So for me, that's me personally, but again, I tend to not care too much for them. And I actually tend to not crave fruit either, but that's me. So if I was to go out there and tell you, hey, this is the diet you need to eat, I would be horribly, mistaken to think that that's the diet that everyone else needs to eat. But that's what I found that works for me over the last 10 some odd years. And so I urge you, and I'm sure Fred would too, to just find out what the heck works for you. You know, don't put yourself under some sort of label and try to fit. I mean, I think the best example of this is I was just talking to a longtime, fan of Renegade Health and who's, you know, who's become an acquaintance of ours. And interviewed her for the book, and you know, she was telling me a story about, you know, she had some acne when she started on the raw food diet, and then, you know, the only thing that she can think of, because she believes that the raw food diet is so pure and so good and the right diet for her, that, you know, she's experiencing detox symptoms, and then she tries all these new things and she's still got acne, and she's like, well, people are telling her, you still are trying to, your body is still detoxing. And then, you know, 2 years later or 3 years later, and this is maybe not her story, but someone else's story, you know, 5 years later, oh, you're still detoxing. And that's BS. You're not still detoxing. The diet isn't working for you. Your hormones are screwed up. Your digestion's all messed up. So it's just kind of one of these things where, but she was labeling herself as, you know, the diet being purity. And Fred mentioned this before, paleo being purity. And, you know, the reason why paleo isn't working with you is for two reasons. One, because you're doing it wrong. That's, you know, that's probably BS too. And then the other reason is because, you know, your body is just not adapted to it. It's just not the right diet for you.
And I think, I think when people give advice about the paleo diet, generally it can be pretty good advice, you know, improving your diet, eating more fruit, eating more root vegetables versus grains and so on. All of that is awesome, but you gotta take a look at your blood tests and see if you're heading in the right direction. Because I worry a little bit about some of the paleo people out there that are not only saying that there's a certain diet that works and you should avoid grains, but they're now saying, like, the numbers that we were told by doctors, for example, cholesterol levels. Well, you shouldn't worry about it because it's become like intellectual masturbation at this point. Like, they're getting so off track with their recommendations that they're now telling people that if they you know, if their cholesterol is way off the charts, that is actually normal. And when you look at long-lived cultures, you look at native tribes, they don't have those cholesterol levels. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're not developing heart disease with your diet through maybe too much saturated fat, too much of the wrong stuff. So, you know, if it's just like Kevin said, if it's working for you, if you're tracking your results, then keep doing it. And there's a lot of great advice in paleo. You know, I think it's pretty cool that some of this stuff is becoming mainstream, like the aversion to eating so much dairy, which is good considering how much dairy Americans eat, you know, and how much cheese is just over the top. I mean, a little here and there is okay, but we've gone over the top with this stuff. So I think, you know, a lot of this advice is great, and the greens and so on. And yeah, so I just want to say, you know, just track your progress. Yeah. And don't believe all the hype, right?
And it's so much more mainstream than like raw food has ever been, which is good, because there's some very similar principles in raw food as there are in paleo. I mean, even to the point where, you know, you don't eat a lot of grains in raw food, right? I mean, that's like kind of,
yeah, exactly.
Just because they're definitely hard to digest when they're raw. So like it's a good thing that it's out there. Don't take it so seriously. Don't take yourself so seriously. And before we go, I do want to say one thing. I was at a store in Pittsburgh when I was in Pittsburgh recently, and I saw this bar. It's a paleo bar, and I think it's called the Epic Bar. And so I looked at it. I'm like, all right, whatever. What is it? It's like a lamb rosemary snack bar. So like think like Lara Bar, but like with meat, but not beef jerky, not like hard and chewy, but actually soft and like mushy. And I was like, all right, what the heck? I might as well buy one of these and see what it tastes like. This thing was the most disgusting tasting thing I've ever tasted in my life. If you're trying to do paleo, skip the bars, have a piece of fruit, and get on with your life. Have the meat later. You don't need it in a bar form. It was so awful. Maybe someone likes these out there. I don't know. But man, it was, I never throw away food. And this was just like, I took one bite and I like literally just walked over to the trash can and just dropped it in there.
Well, you're pretty courageous, Kevin, just to have tried it. So,
well,
I'm impressed.
I'm saving everyone else out there who's listening. This has been Renegade Health Radio, guys. Have a good one.
Renegade Health Radio.